Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. That's the first book of the New Testament. Heading of this is the Transfiguration. Beginning at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While He was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," He said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked Him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize Him, but have done to Him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that He was talking to them about John the Baptist. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. And open our hearts to receive that deep revelation You'd have us to receive this night. Lord, change us. Mold us. Make us into that instrument of glory that You'd have us to be. Lord, make us a holy people. A royal priesthood. A people belonging to You. May it be so now, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. The Transfiguration incident, as recorded in Matthew chapter 17, is intended to be understood as a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Clearly, from this time on, He gave Himself less to the instruction of the multitudes and more to the training of the 12. It is important to note what happened and transpired the week earlier in Caesarea Philippi. Because the announcement of Jesus that He must go to Jerusalem to die and then be raised from the dead shocked the disciples beyond measure. Tension was high. It was a turning point of immense significance. Something was needed to sustain the faith of the disciples and give them encouragement. The Transfiguration was a step to higher ground for the disciples, because in Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus foretold of His sufferings, His rejection, and His death. And then 6 days later, Jesus is transfigured before them. And if we could for a moment just think what it was like for those disciples, and then having to deal with these great and surpassing revelations. First of all, the disciples had risen to the highest level of faith here, and then they had been offended by the Lord's rejection. The disciples had been proclaiming Jesus as the Christ, as the covenant King of the kingdom, promised to the Jews and at hand. But Christ had other plans, and it is quite evident throughout the Gospels that these plans were difficult for the disciples to accept and understand. Now, it is easy for us living today to look back and see how the blood of the new covenant was shed through the death of Christ on the cross in His triumphal resurrection. But the disciples were more personally involved at that time and did not have all these things revealed to them until the appropriate hour. And the disciples were given new and incredible revelations each day. And I'm sure it was hard for them to understand the total meaning and implications of these solemn words of Christ concerning His suffering, death, and resurrection. But the Transfiguration brought a new disclosure. The Transfiguration brought a new height. The Transfiguration brought a new level of revelation of majesty and true glory of Christ in His coming kingdom. In the midst of Christ's series of humiliating episodes comes this discovery of His glory. Christ took His closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, with Him on this occasion. The Transfiguration scene contains, in a small scale, all the elements of the future kingdom of the Lord manifested before the very eyes of these three disciples. For them to be eyewitnesses of His majesty and His glory, seeing the Lord Jesus not in humiliation but in glory, seeing Moses in glory, representative of the redeemed who have passed through the death into the kingdom, seeing Elijah in glory, representative of the redeemed who have the eternal kingdom by translation, seeing all three in the transformed state of glory, hallelujah. Can you imagine what a sight that was for them to behold? Hollywood's been trying for years to create a sight like this. Beam me up, Scotty, of Star Trek. To the Invisible Man, the Ghost Dad, and on. But we must be reminded of when this took place, that being some 2,000 years ago. And this was no film producer's trick of the camera. This was for real. This actually happened. Christ was translated before the very eyes of the disciples into another form. Moses and Elijah all of a sudden appear out of nowhere and begin to talk to Jesus. But you see, this is not a motion picture and some magician's trick of filmmaking. But this is real. This is really possible. And this is what the future kingdom of Christ will be like. Peter, James, and John were seeing with their own eyes the future kingdom of glory. They were not glorified. They were not representatives. But they were still living in the flesh, you see. But Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they were extraterrestrials. They were aliens. They were transformed, and Christ was transfigured before their very eyes. He was changed into a glorious body. His face shone clear and bright like the sun. And His clothing became white as light. His form and features shine with a new glory, bright as the sun, as though a Shekinah cloud had wrapped all around Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a sight. Praise His holy name. The light shone not upon Him from without, but out of Him within. He was all irradiated and was in one blaze of celestial glory. In verse 3, the Bible says, just then appeared before them a Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. What a sight. Hallelujah. And then Peter said to Jesus, Peter, as usual, spoke out for the rest, impetuous Peter, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, I think it's good to stop at this point and analyze just what is going on here. Why did Peter make such a statement? If we look carefully, we will see a very important message the Lord is telling us from this passage of Scripture. We have to remember the disciples were very human, and Christ was very much God. The transfiguration was also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. In the 9th chapter of Luke, verse 33, parallels this statement recorded by Peter and Matthew. Luke describes it this way. As Moses and Elijah were leaving Jesus, Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And what that is saying to us is this. When Peter saw Moses and Elijah ready to depart from the mount, he wished to detain them, see, that he might always enjoy their company and be with the Lord and Master, still supposing that Christ will set up a temporal kingdom here on earth. Peter speaks the sense of his fellow disciples, it is good not only for me, but for us. Showing a sincere desire to be with the Lord, but failing to understand the kingdom of the Lord. Peter had a desire to have it continue so. He said, let us put up three shelters. Peter had more zeal than discretion. He had zeal to converse with heavenly things. Yet in this zeal he betrayed a great deal of weakness and ignorance on his part. What need did Moses and Elijah have of shelters? Christ had recently foretold of his sufferings, but Peter forgets this. Now this is a difficult teaching for us to understand here tonight. And what Peter was having trouble understanding is precisely what the New Age theology of the 20th century is void of understanding. First, we are off course if we look for heaven here on earth. Secondly, it's not for men of glory to talk of buildings or expect of a continuing city. And there is a great tendency of many men today to expect a crown without a cross. And it is quite apparent Peter and the other disciples were totally missing what Christ was telling them. That's why the transfiguration took place. I feel that over and above the great display and demonstration of the transfiguration that these disciples experienced, there was a deep spiritual lesson that God was teaching these disciples. Because in the next verse, verse 5, the Bible tells us, while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And in the Old Testament, a cloud was a visible token of God's presence, you see. And in verse 5, continues by saying, a voice from the cloud says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him! And what God was telling these disciples was this one main point, that God was telling them to listen to his Son. Because of the stumbling block to their faith, namely the necessity that the Messiah should suffer death. That was the point. For the disciples, this was something they had a hard time understanding. And the scene and the transfiguration was done for them so that they would begin to receive this revelation about the path which the Lamb of God would have to take. Because the value of the transfiguration experience falls on the disciples. For Christ was transfigured before them, and the Father's voice was directed at them rather than to the Son. And God used this supernatural experience to make known to the disciples that all prophets that prophesied, all the law that was enforced, and even Moses and Elijah must give place to Jesus, and he alone must be attended to as the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. For no man now could come unto the Father but through him. And from that very voice of God Almighty, the word of confirmation comes. This is my Son. Listen to him. Moses and Elijah were great men, admired in heaven, yet they were all but servants. But Christ is a Son. And in him, God is always pleased. And when the disciples heard the voice of God, the next verse tells us they fell face down. Face down on the ground, terrified. And what God is telling us who are listening to this word tonight, as he told his disciples on the top of that sacred mountain, there is no word above his Son. There is no way above his Son. There is no truth other than his Son. There is no life other than his Son. There is no atonement without suffering. There is no glory without the cross. There is no resurrection without the death. There is no kingdom without sacrifice. And that kingdom is not of this world. And that kingdom is a kingdom above the mountaintops. And that kingdom is a kingdom of light. And that kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. And that kingdom is a kingdom of transformation. And that kingdom is a kingdom of glory. And what God is telling us tonight is not for us to reason all things out, but to listen to his Son. For us not to figure all things out, but to listen to his Son. For us not to write the book, but for us to listen to his Son. For us not to make any sense of it all, but to listen to his Son. Not for us to make or change the plans of the Lord God Almighty, but to listen to his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are to obey what he says. And we are to obey what he tells us to do. And we are to obey what he speaks to us. And we are to obey what his word commands. And we are not to write our own ticket and build our own shelters on this earth or fall in love with this present world. But we are to follow the King of Kings to the mountaintop of glory. Well, praise God. Amen. In his house tonight. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Because we have heard from the voice of the living God. And we know this present world is going to melt in a fervent heat. And we know this present heaven and earth will pass away. But the everlasting words of Christ shall never pass away. And the word from the throne room of God for tonight is for each one of us to listen to him and to stop trying to rewrite the divine plans of the Lord, but to listen and take heed to the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. That's the message for tonight. Following Jesus Christ is not complicated. We make it complicated. Amen. All we need to do is listen to his Son. Listen to Jesus. He knows the right way. He knows all the truth. He wrote the book about life. This is what Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 21, meant when the Lord said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And the Bible says a voice behind you will say, "This is the way, walk in it." What God is saying, listen to me. Listen to me. But we are so dull, so slow, so backward. Sort of reminds me of a time when two men were digging a ditch on a very hot day. And one said to the other, "Why are we down in this hole digging a ditch when our boss is standing up there under the shade of the tree?" "I don't know," responded the other. "I'll ask him." So he climbed out of the hole and went up to his boss. "Why are we digging in the hot sun and you're standing under the shade of this tree?" "Intelligence," the boss said. "What do you mean, intelligence?" The boss said, "Well, I'll show you. I'll put my hand on this tree and I want you to hit it with your fist as hard as you can." The ditch digger took a mighty swing and tried to hit the boss's hand. The boss removed his hand and the ditch digger hit the tree. The boss said, "That's intelligence." The ditch digger went back to his hole. His friend asked, "What did he say?" "He said that we're down here because of intelligence." "What's intelligence?" said the friend. The ditch digger put his hand on his face and said, "Take your shovel and hit my hand." Praise God, you guys are slow. Amen. You know, God is the boss. And God is a little bit more intelligent than we are. And we need to listen to Him here tonight. Where do we think we know everything there is to know? Where do we get that? How is it we think we have all the answers? We know all the ways to go. We know everything there is to know. Let me tell you, brother and sister, we know nothing. The only hope we have is through Jesus Christ. We best begin to listen to His words. The day you start rewriting this book is the day that God in heaven will take away from you your share in the tree of life, the last verse in the Bible. Ours is not to know everything there is to know. Ours is not to figure everything out. Ours is not to write our own laws. Ours is not to do just as we like. Look, it doesn't take a genius to see and understand the hopeless state the world is heading into, and the ways of God are hidden. And the only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. And the only way for the world is Jesus Christ. And you're not going to know everything there is to know, and you're not going to figure all things out, so stop trying and start listening to the one who wrote the final chapter. And begin to listen to His ways, and begin to listen to His laws, and begin to listen to His divine plans, and begin to listen to His word. And when you begin to obey His ways, His laws, and plans, and word, you're not going to need any other knowledge, wisdom, or direction, because your life is heading towards a transformed life with the glory of the living God, a kingdom of light that is eternal and lasts forever. Well, praise God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Peter and the other disciples were really having trouble with listening to the Lord. You see, when suffering begins to abound, consolations are given more abundantly. But God came down from heaven. A rare event in the New Testament to tell these disciples, "Listen, my son, listen to him. He knows what he's doing. Listen to him. He knows what's going on. Listen to him. He knows everything there is to know. He knows all things. There is nothing Christ does not know. Nothing." In John 17:5, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was around long before the foundation of the world. "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Hallelujah. Maybe that's a mighty wind rushing in. Amen. Praise God. Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us that Christ is the Creator. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Hebrews 1, 2, "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, who He has appointed heir of all things, and through Him He made the universe." And I'm talking about a Christ in Matthew 28, 18 that has all authority in heaven on earth. And I'm talking about a Christ in John 10, 30 that is one with God Himself. And I'm talking about a Christ in Luke 22, 69 that sits at the right hand of God. And I'm talking about a Christ in Revelation 23, 13 that is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. and the beginning and the end. A God who didn't have to lay his life down and go to the cross. A God who could have destroyed us. A God who could have made us robots. A God who could have not given us a chance. But I'm talking about a God that desires that no one perish. And I'm talking about a God that wants us to live. And I'm talking about a God that so loved us that he laid down his life to give us a faith, to give us a hope, to give us a love. And if you're listening to this message either by sitting here or by tape, and you do not understand why, and you need to figure it all out, and you cannot figure out the reason why the world the way it is, and you can't understand why things are the way they are, and you are plagued with the question of why, but I am here to tell you tonight to stop trying to intellectually try to reason it out, and stop trying to figure it out, and stop trying to find an explanation of why things are the way they are, because it's quite obvious we cannot be told all things. And we must recognize that there are some things that are hidden from our sight, and we must trust our God to have a good reason for allowing things to be the way they are. But you must begin to focus on what can be. And you begin to focus on the future of the kingdom of the Lord. And you begin to focus on the transfigured Christ. And you begin to seek that eternal life in him. And you begin to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And when you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, you will never have to ask why ever again, because you will be given all that his kingdom has to offer in knowledge, wisdom, and life now and forevermore. Praise God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know everything there is to know. Praise God. And I don't have all the answers. And I don't understand everything that goes on in this world. But I understand and I know one thing for certain, that my God loves me. I know that. Do you know that tonight? God loves you. I understand and know my God is for me. I know that tonight. And I have a God that has shown me a better way to live. Praise God. And that way to live is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I know without any doubt whatsoever that my God will do everything in his power to help me. And if I will listen to him, and he will bankrupt heaven if just one will listen to him and reach out for the free gift of eternal life that has been given through his blessed Son, whom he is well pleased, because he is the sacrificed Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. Praise God. Listen to him is the word from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I think the saddest thing there is when people misunderstand God and he's misunderstood. People say, I don't understand why God allows this or that to occur. Just like Peter and the disciples, they loved Jesus, but they did not understand all this about suffering, death, and the cross. They couldn't understand that. I mean, they walked with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, touched him, prayed with him, saw the miracles, signs, and wonders. This is heavy stuff for them. It's heavy stuff for you too. In your life, when a loved one passes away. But you see, somewhere down deep within each one of us, we must believe God is for us and not against us. And I don't know how bad you have been hurt or how tough life has been for you. If you do not hear anything tonight, please hear this. God cries with you. God sheds his tears with you. God does not like the way things are either. It's obvious he allows things to be the way they are in this world because a change might cause total destruction, see? If he changed things, you wouldn't be sitting here. That's why Jesus had to go to the secret place on the high top of that mountain, you see, because appearing publicly in his glory was not agreeable in his present state. I do not have all the answers. I do not know all the reasons. But I do know this, that Jesus means no one any harm. Jesus means no one any harm. If we go back to Matthew chapter 17, verse 6, we find the disciples fell face down, and the Bible says they were terrified. The next verse says it all. But Jesus came. Jesus came. And he touched them. Oh, just one touch from the Master's hand. I long for that day. I just long for the day that Jesus would reach out and touch me. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. No one except Jesus. You might be sitting here tonight and have been taught that God is out to get you. God's going to get back at you. No, God wants to be for you. God wants you to get up and not be afraid. That's the message the Lord has for us tonight. Jesus means you no harm. And Jesus wants you to be able to say, Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Shall we pray? Every head bowed and every eye closed here tonight. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this sanctuary tonight, and you'd say to me, Pastor, I'm really going through it. I'm going through a tough time. And I need to hear the voice of the Lord, and I need to listen to Him tonight, and I need the faith to trust Him, and I need that power of the Holy Spirit in my life tonight. And I really want your prayer for me tonight. Would you just let me see your hand? You just raise it up high for me. Praise the name of Jesus. Just raise it up. We need that power. You'd say to me, Pastor, I need help. I need to get back to the Lord. I keep wandering away. I need to be strengthened by His Spirit tonight. I need to go to that altar tonight. I need to just pour out my heart to Him and ask Him to bring some changes in my life. I've got some great needs. I've got some great financial needs. I've got emotional needs, relational needs. I need help. And I need to listen to His voice, and I need to trust Him. And if you need that tonight and you say, Pastor, I'd like your prayer, would you raise your hand? Just raise it up for me tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to take the next step. I want you to get up from your pew and come forward here and kneel at this altar and just commune with Him tonight. And if you just want to come up and just commune with the Lord, just come up tonight and commune with your God. Hallelujah.